out. The hour of 8:30 having arrived, I'm going to call to order state and local government operations for farm technology and elections, and if we could get everybody out of the well, we're starting the committee hearing. House File 690 is being laid over at the request of the author, so if you're here for House File 690, that bill is not on the agenda for today. I do not see Representative Winkler, so we're at Representative Hamilton. You are up.
Right.
Representative Hamilton, House File 14, Senate File 41. Do we have a quorum? We need someone to move the division report who's on the division.
The chair?
Representative Biskin.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the division report.
All right. We've moved the division report. Well, we don't need anything. All right, we have a quorum, so all those in favor of the division report, do you signify by saying aye?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any division reports before us? Then we need to move Senate File 41, is that correct, Representative Hamilton?
Yeah.
Senate File 41?
Thank you.
I will then move Senate File 41, and Representative Hamilton, where does this have to go next? Does this go to the General Register?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
I'll move that Senate File 41... B. Is it Senate File 41?
I believe it's Senate File 14.
It's House File 14, Mr. Chair.
Senate File 1113 next.
Okay, I've got on the agenda. All right, everybody, I'm working off the agenda, and it says Senate File 41. Is it Senate File 41? It is Senate File 41.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
My testifier, Jan Franzen, testified over in the Senate as well, and she says it is Senate File 41.
It is Senate File 41. Okay, that's good. So I'll move Senate File 41, be recommended to pass, and be placed on the General Register. Representative Hamilton, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And what I'd like to do at this time, everybody is familiar, I think, with the bill as far as the concept. This is Jackson County wanting to have the ability to appoint the offices of Auditor-Treasurer. So, Mr. Chair, at this time, I'd like to turn it over with Jan Franzen from Jackson County.
Okay, welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jana Franson. I'm the Jackson County Coordinator. On behalf of the Jackson County Board of Commissioners, I am here this morning to ask that you consider this proposed legislation, which would allow for the appointment of the Jackson County Auditor-Treasurer. The County Board recognizes that this position has evolved into a highly technical and specialized position. Increased audit standards and property tax systems as one of the most complex in the nation are just two examples that illustrate this. This is a key management position responsible for managing a $19 million budget. In a small county such as ours, every position is very hands-on. It is critical that the office holder have the technical knowledge to do day-to-day work and not just manage the office. Individuals who may be highly qualified for the auditor-treasurer position may not be willing to take the risk of seeking election while currently employed, where they would have to leave the security of a well-paying job that may only be for a four-year term. The previously elected Auditor-Treasurer in Jackson County recently retired, and the current office holder does support this legislation. The public does have opportunity for input through a public hearing and potential for reverse referendum. I respectfully request your consideration of this legislation, and thank you.
Question. Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just for the record, does the county have a website?
Yes, it does. Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair?
Ms. Franzen, yes, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, yes, it does.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, is it the intention of the county to also publish this change on their website besides the statutory language saying you have to publish it in the official publication? Is it the intention to also put this change on the website?
Ms. Franzen.
Mr. Chair, Representative Biskin, yes, we would publish it on the website.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further questions? Representative Marquardt.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Ms. Franzen, I've never been in support of these. I'll just be out front on that. But, you know, some of the things that you mentioned that would make this a reason to be appointive rather than elective is it deals with, it's specialized and deals with technical stuff. I think here as legislators, you know, people on health and human services, I know very little about that, but some are expertise or civil law. I think we deal with technical, very specialized type of data and subject matter all the time. And the second thing is that you would not want to leave the security of a well-paying job. I'm a teacher, so that's not a huge thing for me. But I know there's attorneys that have to leave their practices. There's folks that I know lose on income by coming into the legislature. And I would never suggest that we be appointive. I don't think that would be a real good thing to suggest. But my question is, why don't you just have a vote? Why don't you put it up to the vote of Jackson County to say, do you want to make these positions appointed? Why don't you just do a vote of the people?
Ms. Franzen or Representative Hamilton, either one of you, who wishes to respond? Okay. Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative, you know, we had this very conversation last Friday at a town hall meeting, a very well town hall meeting. Very well attended, town hall meeting. And because obviously we do have the ability to do that. And all the commissioners, three of the five commissioners were there to answer questions as well. And after they talked about the very thing that Ms. Franzen was talking about, everybody there agreed that this is what we need to do. Let's just go ahead and do it. Versus spending the money and everything else to put this on the ballot and the rigmarole to, well, I shouldn't frame it that way, but, you know, again, just going through those processes to where they can go ahead and be able to appoint this position, seek out that individual, and people understand as well that they can reverse this in the event there's any backlash that we do not know of. And so, you know, they're just looking for this up front and be able to do this right away.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. You know, one of the things with an elected position rather than appointed is they tend to be more independent. And even with finances, I think it's better to have someone who is a little more independent, as the auditor or treasurer might be, to be able to step away a little bit and not be under the guise of the commission that can hire and fire and so forth. I think there's a little bit more of a check, a public check on finances of counties and so forth. And what is your feeling about that? Do you think someone who has been hired by the commission can be more independent than someone who is elected in their own right?
Ms. Franzen or
Representative Hamilton?
Which wishes to respond? Representative Hamilton or Ms. Franzen? Ms. Franzen?
Mr. Chair, Representative, the county board feels that the responsibility of the auditor treasurer has become more technical in nature and that there really is very little policy decision making in this position at this time. It's become more there's so much that is complex in the nature, and really the policy part of it has become minimal over the years. Really, the independence of it is it is really not necessary as it has been in the past.
Representative Merle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, Representative Marquardt, I actually support Representative Hamilton's bill here. I go the other direction than you. I agree with Ms. Franzen that this is really a management. This position isn't making policy decisions, rather implementing policies determined by others. To me, it's an administrative position, much like a county administrator. I actually had another Representative Siskins and I had a little discussion about this on the House floor, and I appreciate Representative Siskins' input, but I support the idea to allow county make a decision. I actually would empower all counties to have this power, so we would have a different discussion. But in this case, I am going to be supporting Representative Hamilton's bill.
further discussion, members? Ms. Franzen, Jackson County has a county administrator, don't they? Or Representative Hamilton? Does Jackson County have a county administrator?
Mr. Chair?
Ms. Franzen?
Mr. Chair, I am the county coordinator.
You're the, which is the county
same,
administrator.
Similar same, to a county same administrator.
Position. All right. I'm not going to pursue that either, but that seems duplicative, but that's just an observation. Any further discussion? Seeing no further discussion. Oh, Representative Anderson, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I would just add that even with the elected position of auditor treasurer, the county board still sets that person's salary, so they do have to get along together.
Okay. Further discussion. Seeing none, I'll renew my motion that Senate File 41 be recommended to pass and be placed on the general register. And all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay? Motion prevails. Representative Winkler, File 7.
Is he here?
He is here. Okay. Representative Winkler, I believe this says to go to public safety policy and oversight. Is that correct?
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
Representative Winkler, your motion.
Thank you. I move that House File 7 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Public Safety Policy.
All right. Representative Winkler, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd also like to start by moving a DE1 amendment.
All right. Does this put the bill in order?
It does, Mr. Chair.
All right. As I understand it, while it does carry the title delete everything, it is more of a corrective delete everything than a substantive change the entire meaning of the bill delete everything. Be careful how you answer that question.
Mr. Chair, I may not answer the question. This was suggested by Mr. Shepard. It's just that the amendment that was going to be offered, I think, would make the bill hard to read, and so we did a delete everything, not just because there were major changes, just so that it would be easier to follow.
All right. So, Representative Winkler, I did talk with Mr. Shepard about this, and there are basically two types of deletes for everything. One that save us from a number of rather small amendments that sometimes get to be cumbersome and confusing, and one that then does put the bill in order, and the bill remains more or less what it was. Just it's much easier to handle by staff and by the committee reading it. So with that, all those in favor of the DE1 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted, and your bill is in order. Representative Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The bill came from a discussion I started last summer with Mr. Shepard. I had heard in the read in the newspapers about the DNR conservation officers' ball that they had, which was in which they misused public funds, and I think we're all well aware of the Sonia Pitt situation where there was a significant misuse of public funds. What I was surprised about was that ultimately there were no criminal charges filed in either one of those cases, and I began to kind of question what happens to people who are violating the law by misappropriating and misusing state funds, and the legislative auditor finds out about it. I know that in statute it says that he can refer it to the county attorney and to the attorney general to get financial compensation back, but I think the practical effect is that most often people end up getting fired and there's no further consequence for them. So the goal was to try to look at our existing statutes and clarify that misuse of public funds, as exemplified in those situations, is a crime. And so in 16A, the statute section, it says that it's illegal for public officials to spend money for purposes other than that for which it was appropriated, but it doesn't make clear that that's a criminal violation. In Section 609, they list four acts, or the statute has four types of conduct that constitute misconduct by a public official, and it provides a criminal sanction for that conduct. So the basic thrust of the bill is simply to clarify that misspending public funds, as defined in 16A, actually constitutes a criminal act and is added to the list of four types of misconduct that is criminal under 609. That's the that's where the bill started. The delete everything added a few pieces that were suggested by Mr. Noble, who is here if anybody has questions. One of the issues is in Section 4 of the bill, we have, and I'm not an expert on this, it's a fairly technical legal question, but essentially, if you're conducting an investigation inside an agency and you compel employees to provide testimony, that testimony cannot then be used in a subsequent criminal proceeding because of Fifth Amendment issues. And so there are ways, the best practices and policies for conducting internal investigations to make sure that any evidence that you discover can be preserved and used in a future criminal proceeding. And so Section 4 is an attempt to get agencies to be more deliberate about enacting those policies and following through on those policies so any kind of future criminal action could be supported by the evidence that they find. That is the substance of the bill, and I'd be happy to take any questions.
Representative, do you have anyone that wishes to testify on the bill? I see we've got representatives from not just the auditor's office, but also finance here. Anyone wish to testify on the language that was adopted today? I don't see anyone that wishes to testify. Question from the committee. Representative Emmer.
Thank you. Representative Winkler, the best practices for investigations, did you just go over that and I missed it? Why are we having the Commissioner of Finance develop that?
Representative Winkler.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Emmer, the reason is because originally it was drafted for the Attorney General's office to do that, and I heard rumors of a severe fiscal impact on our office if they were to provide that kind of policy. Finance already has that policy in place, and so the idea is it would be less of a fiscal burden on our state agencies to provide the policy to other agencies that there's already one in place.
Mr. Chair, Representative Emmer.
Representative Winkler, thank you for that. I guess I understand there is a fiscal note on the Senate side, even though that shouldn't concern us here. But what that would suggest to me is it doesn't matter what department it is, there is going to be added. Who's going to charge it out? Who's ultimately going to charge this out?
Representative Winkler.
Mr. Chair, Representative Emmer, if a criminal violation is charged out, it would be the county attorney of the relevant county. Usually it's Ramsey, but it could be sometimes it's Tennyson or others. But usually it's Ramsey County Attorney that would bring the charges. The fiscal note that is in the Senate, which I had seen, Senator Rest, who's carrying the companion, provided that to me, but the fiscal note shows no impact on this bill for the finance department.
And the finance department's here if you want them to come down. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Kurt Yoakum with the Department of Finance. What Representative Winkler said is correct. And after the merger of the two departments with Finance and Department of Employee Relations, we have the Assistant Commissioner for Labor Relations, who grievances and investigations go through that office. In conjunction over the years with the Attorney General's office, the way I understand it, a best practices format or the type of process has already been developed in working with the authors of this legislation. We feel that what we have put in place as far as guidelines for agencies on how to conduct such an investigation and how it goes forward with the process, we feel pretty confident that that's already in place. And so that's why, at least on the fiscal note that's been referred to over on the Senate side, we did not put a cost for our department. We feel that's already in place.
Mr. Chair, thank you, Mr. Yoakum. Question, who would this apply to? Is this so would you be developing, and would your department then be creating investigative best practices for the executive branch, for the judicial branch? I mean, would it apply to all those?
Mr. Yoakum.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Emmer, that one I'll have to check into and get back to you for the fact that As I said, we've done this in conjunction with the Attorney General's office, and I'm not exactly, maybe Mr. Nobles can answer this better than I can. I'm not exactly sure if that has been applied to the other branches. We've generally, with the State Labor Office, concentrated particularly on the executive branch, so I'm not, I'll have to get back to you on that.
Representative, I see Mr. Noble. Why don't we have, welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. My name is Jim Nobles. I'm the legislative auditor. And the reference to best practices would be those that apply in the executive branch. And I would just echo and agree with what Mr. Yocum said. These are really already in place. And this is a process that already occurs. The Department of Finance now, because of the merger with the Department of Employee Relations, has that function. It has been ongoing for many years. We cooperate and coordinate our work with them. So it's just a matter of emphasis, really. Because of some of the legal complexities that are involved in an investigation of a public employee by his employer, which involves compelled testimony, as was mentioned, and there is the need to give what is referred to as a Garrity warning, which basically immunizes that testimony. Under use immunity, that testimony can then not be used in a criminal proceeding. Doesn't mean a criminal proceeding cannot occur, simply means that other evidence has to be brought forth in that proceeding.
Representative Emmer.
Thank you. Well, if it's already happening, I have concerns as to why we're putting it all in statute. The I do understand Representative Winkler's concern about making sure that it's a stated crime, but the way the law was originally drafted, it said it is illegal. How was it handled up till now?
Mr. Nobles? Well, Mr. Chairman, the way it's handled now, it certainly if my office is involved, we're simply conducting an audit or a special review. We are not a criminal and investigative organization, but from time to time, we come upon evidence that may indicate that a crime has been committed or that civil recovery needs to occur. And under existing law, we have an obligation to refer that evidence for criminal consideration to the appropriate county attorney of jurisdiction and to the attorney general for consideration of civil recovery of funds. So that's the way it occurs. Now, the best practices, I think, refer to the fact that parallel sometimes or after the Office of the Legislative Auditor conducts a special review or investigation, there may be need for an investigation by the employer for disciplinary action, possible termination. And again, that gets into some areas of complexity because under those circumstances, because the investigation is being conducted by the employer, and lack of cooperation by the employee is a reason for termination. Therefore, you are, in effect, compelling their testimony. So that's, again, why I think this language is here, because some of the people, not always, but sometimes the people conducting those investigations need some training in what the legalities and best practices are. And just maybe some training and best practice in how to conduct an interview with somebody who is being investigated.
Mr. Chair. Thank you very much, Mr. Nobles. And Representative Winkler, I actually, I think I like what you're doing. Last question, I'm going to preface it by saying that hypothetically it could apply to, for instance, our Attorney General's office. If there are allegations that federal appropriated funds have been misused, maybe monies that have been provided for Medicare, Medicaid investigations, that would be subject, if this became law, that would be subject to this law, wouldn't it?
Mr. Noble. Mr. Chair and Representative Emmer, that's absolutely true. In fact, we had a case that involved that just recently with a fraud at the Department of Human Services. And in that particular case, because not just because federal money was involved, but federal money was involved, but the alleged perpetrator did not live in the state of Minnesota, and therefore that case was investigated by federal authorities and prosecuted by federal authorities. Although, because it was a state employee and state funds were also involved, there could have been other investigative approaches, including the Office of the Legislative Auditor, that just turned out to be unnecessary.
Last, and I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, I don't mean to belabor it, but last question, because it raised another one. Let's say that, hypothetically, the Attorney General's office had been misusing federal funds, and it's not just the Attorney General having knowledge of the, under my hypothetical situation, having knowledge of the misuse, but you've got several staff people and attorneys. How would this law apply? Would it apply to every one of them? Individually as well as the department? How explain to me how that would be done.
Chairman and Representative Immer, the law applies to anybody that misuses funds. So the potential for either civil or criminal action applies to each and every individual against whom you can bring evidence of violation of the law. I don't know if I'm getting to your point, but I mean, there are situations where the issue relates to the system of the organization. And when we do that kind of work, we're basically conducting an audit. But when we shift to a focus on the possible misuse of funds by individuals, which does occur, we are conducting an investigation, and we will investigate any and everybody who may have some responsibility for those funds.
Representative Winkle, I think, wanted to respond.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I would just add that the standard is intentional and knowing. So it couldn't just be that you know, money was accidentally misused and nobody was aware of it, or it was an accident, or you know, et cetera. The standard is intentional and knowing. And I guess to your other point about what happens now, right now, if a county attorney is going to charge out a crime, they have to look for something else that's on their books, whether it be embezzlement or fraud, et cetera. So this makes clear that in the public context, using spending money for the purpose other than that it was appropriated for is a standalone criminal violation.
All right, Representative Gutwell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move a small amendment, verbal amendment, on line 2.4 of the bill.
Now, are you on the delete everything amendment? Is that correct?
Let's see, am I? No, I'm not.
I would suggest you move to the amendment.
Let me do that.
That would clarify it. Representative, why don't you take a look at that, and I'll Representative Kiffmeyer's next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and very, very intriguing piece of legislation to discuss. But the question I have is on the courts that was brought up before. I see on line 1.7 on the delete all amendment, it uses the word courts and it rather delineates it. But in some of the other sections, it does not. And it talks about line 2.6, no official head of any state department. Not quite sure if that phrasing includes the courts and so on and so forth. The only place specifically states it is on 1.7. So I just wanted to clarify, or if we need to do something as a slight amendment to some of the other sections to just make sure, because I think the approach seems to be sound, but make sure it really does cover the all.
Mr. Noble?
Mr. Chairman and members, I think one of the reasons for the difference in language that you referenced, Representative Kiffmeyer, is that in Section 1, you are amending the jurisdiction of the legislative auditor, which includes the courts. Then when you move to the criminal issue that has been raised about the misappropriation of funds, it simply has not been constructed in a way that I think that reference was made. But in terms of the work that the Office of the Legislative Auditor would do, we also audit the courts. We also can potentially investigate the possible misuse of funds by any court official or employee. And we would take the same approach to applying that or referring that to a county attorney or the attorney general. I think you get into a little bit different issue when you move into the judicial branch, because if it is a judge, for example, there are also other entities that have some ability to take action against a judge and even terminate a judge. But that would be independent of what we do or what the county attorney does or what the attorney general does. So I'm not quite sure I'm getting to your point. Again, I think it's simply that you've got different sections of the law being amended in this. They're brought together in this bill. And I guess if you want to incorporate the courts into all of the bill, you're prerogative.
Mr. Representative Winkler.
I think that we might be able to answer the question best by just asking Mr. Shepard to give us the definition of State Department.
Mr. Shepard.
Mr. Chair and Representative Winkler, Representative Meyer, it's not defined. This law was originally written in the 1930s. It was codified in a different place in Minnesota statutes. It was moved recently to this chapter 16A, which governs the Department of Finance, which is generally authority over the executive branch. But to the best of my knowledge, the term isn't defined, and I'm not aware of any case law that interprets what branches of state government would be covered by State Department.
Mr. Noble, do you want to respond?
I would just say, again, trying to clarify this point, that if under our jurisdiction, if courts were not explicitly stated in our jurisdiction, I think most people would interpret that our jurisdiction did not extend to the courts. That's why it's there. Otherwise, as in a more generic way, I think reference to a department or agency is confined to the executive branch. Typically, courts are not referred to as departments or agencies of state government.
Any further discussion? Representative Kiplin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It seems as though the intention here, though, I just want to clarify, if our intention is to include all, including the courts, then I think by what I've heard here, there does need to be some clarifying language added to this. If that was here, and if that is our intention, I think we need to do that, and maybe Mr. Shepard can help us with giving us a written suggestion or...
Representative Kiffmeyer, this is going to Public Safety Policy and Oversight next, which may have a better handle on the court system. We can go to Mr. Shepard, but I do have Representative Hilty and Representative Kahn who may help clarify this point. Representative Hilty?
Sorry, Mr. Chair. I don't think I'm going to do that.
Go ahead, Representative Hilty.
I'm just wondering, Representative Winkler, on line 2.8 of the amendment, why is the phrase "for fees collected" stricken?
Representative Winkler, you want me to go to Mr. Shepard for that one?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hilty, I have no idea.
Mr. Shepard.
Mr. Chair and members, I think it is stricken because it's not needed. This statute was written a long time ago, and as you can see, there's some archaic language there. Any fees collected by the state are deposited in the state treasury and would be appropriated by law. And so it's covered, I believe. I don't think this is a substantive effect of fees. I think it's just all fees are appropriated in order to get out of the state treasury, so it's covered by the general language on line 7.
Representative Hill, does that answer your question?
Well, not entirely, Mr. Chair. Mr. Shepard, what if they haven't gotten into the state treasury?
Mr. Shepard.
I think that's a reasonable point. If the fees had never been appropriated because they were never deposited, then that may be something that I hadn't thought about when I drafted this.
Representative Kahn?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was going to suggest that you could refer back to the list in Section 1, but I think you're suggesting that it was going on to public safety where such notable people as Representative Emmer can continue to work on it. Oh, you're not on there anymore? Sorry. is actually a pretty good one.
All right. Representative Lanning, did you have a question?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm looking at lines 2.6 and 2.7. this would appear to exclude legislative employees. And so to this question about are all really covered here or not, Representative Winkler?
Well, Mr. Chairman and Representative Lanning, I think you're asking the same question that Representative Kiffmeyer asked, and I think you're both correct that generally speaking, this language would not, I believe, be interpreted to apply to either the courts, judicial officials or employees, or officials and or employees in the legislative branch. So it's, again, a matter of your and the author's intent. If you do intend this to apply, I think you need to say that explicitly.
Representative Winkler.
Mr. Chair, I guess I would add that it doesn't appear, it also would not apply to local government units where we could have the same exact issue come up. And I'll work with anybody who's interested in Mr. Shepherd to consider if there are other downsides to applying this outside of the realm of state government, if there are if any other separation of powers or other types of issues might arise from that. I would note that in the best practices section, it refers to appointing authorities must follow the best practices, and appointing authorities would include both the legislature and the courts. So in terms of the investigation best practices, that piece would apply to all three branches, but I guess that wouldn't necessarily apply to local government units, which would then be broadening the scope of the bill considerably too.
Representative
Lange. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It would seem to me that the intent of this legislation is directed at state employees, state officials. I think broadening this to local government may raise all kinds of other questions about what else is in law that would govern that. But if we're going to aim this at state employees, state officials, then let's make sure it's all and not just one branch of government.
Well, if we're going into local government, then Representative Nelson may want to reroute the bill also. But there's always another year to session. So. Representative Lanning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not suggesting that we add local governments here. I'm saying
I know.
The intent here is seems to be aimed at state, so let's make sure it's all state then.
Representative Winkler, our members. Representative Tokyo, did you have an amendment?
I believe, Mr. Chair, that Mr. Shepherd is writing an amendment.
Mr. Shepherd, do you have an amendment that Representative Hilty would wish to move in written form?
Mr. Chair, members, yes, I did write that down, and it would, I think, just on page 2, line 8, reinstate the words or fees collected.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think that would be a good idea. As Representative Kalin pointed out to me a few minutes ago, that the question of fees was precisely what was at issue with the Boxing Commission recently. The fees were not deposited.
All right.
So I think as long as this is at worst redundant, I would move that amendment.
Representative Winkler to the Hilty amendment.
Mr. Chair, I think that is fine. I don't know that I think it may be redundant because you can't use money that hasn't been in the Treasury, I guess, unless... Anyway, I'm fine with the amendment as long as Mr. Shepherd believes we're not making a mistake by adopting it.
All right. Mr. Shepherd, then you'll give the written amendment to Mrs. Anderson. All right. Any further discussion to the Hilty amendment? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Any further discussion to the bill as amended? Representative Winkler.
Mr. Chair, I would move that House File 7 as amended be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Public Safety Policy and Oversight.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Representative Poppy.
Tuesday, March 17th.
Representative Poppy moves the minutes. Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Representative Demmer.
I just have a question. Should the materials relating to Minnesota's meeting
yes.
sovereignty to California, should those be retained in our file, or should we
yes.
put them in the circular file?
Members, if you would retain all of the information on the Representative Hortman's bill, then we wouldn't have to reinsert it. That would be a good idea. That bill may return to us. So. With that, meeting is adjourned.